ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Nightlife. News breakdown.
Well, the first Tuesday of the month, 6th of June, D-Day, yes, but also Reserve Bank of Australia Day, RBA Day. The D in this case is for debt. Many mortgage holders across the nation who now, yet again, have to come up with more hard-earned cash to meet the bank's demands for an increase in monthly repayments. Reserve Bank of Australia has increased the cash rate by 0.25 of a percentage point to 4.1%. That is the 12th rise by the RBA since May last year. Well, it's nearly once a month, isn't it? Near as matters, the Federal Treasurer Jim Chalmers has acknowledged the latest interest rate rise will make life harder for people with a mortgage. Well, no surprises there. But he reckons it's nothing to do with the government.
This rate rise today is not because of the budget, and it's not because people on the minimum wage are being paid too much. And we should be really clear about that. This rate rise today is because inflation is more persistent in our economy than any of us would like.
Well, predictably, I suppose the Shadow Treasurer Angus Taylor says federal government's not doing enough to bring inflation down.
It is clear inflation is coming from Canberra, not from the Kremlin, not from anywhere else, but it is coming as a result of a cocktail of policies that we've seen from Labor, fiscal policy, energy policy, industrial relations policy, which are combining to create an inflationary fire.
Well, joining us again for Nightlife News Breakdown tonight, Peter Martin, economist and business and economy editor for The Conversation Australia. He's also a visiting fellow at the ANU's Crawford School of Public Policy. Peter, good evening. Welcome back to Nightlife.
Good evening.
Well,
I don't know if it is a good evening,
I don't know,
Phil.
Yeah, was it a good evening? Was this a surprise? What have you been observing in the RBA and the Reserve Bank Governor's game plan?
I think it's a surprise. I mean, not a surprise on the day. You can sort of pick up things leading up to it. But if you go back to the beginning of the year or even back a few months, the Reserve Bank Governor paused, gave an indication that it might be over, inflation is on the way down, and something has happened. He has turned. And I think you're sort of right, turned against the Treasurer. Chalmers said today, many Australians would find it difficult to cop, which, how can I put that? It's distancing himself from the man that he gets to do all this.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, the Treasurer did have some words to say about the Governor's job, so to speak. I mean, you get a sense that Philip Lowe's days in the role might be numbered. We've talked about this before.
Might be numbered. He's due to finish
in
mid-September. He's got three meetings to go.
That's right. I mean, you get some sense that, as we've talked about before, he's pushing rates hard now. In the event that he does leave in September, he doesn't want to leave his successor saying, well, I did my darndest. Is that it?
Yeah, I think that what's happening is the Reserve Bank has a number of forecasts for inflation, right? It's 7%, the latest official figure, year to March. The bank is predicting 6.3 by the middle of the year, 3% 2 years after that, getting back to where, you know, the Reserve Bank's aiming for. And he's become worried that that won't happen. Now, his statement was 12 paragraphs long tonight, and two of those paragraphs refer to expectations. I think what he wants to do is to kill what he refers to as entrenched expectations, because he's become worried that the forecast won't come to pass. Inflation has been coming down perhaps more slowly than the bank is expecting, and he really wants to leave office with the house in good order. Now, the Treasurer is in a quite different position, and his press conference was a bit weird today, Phil. He said things like, oh, well, it's not the budget. Our budget's in very good. No one said it was.
No,
it's been very defensive and powerless, really, because although he has the power over the governor in his hands, he gets to decide whether the governor's contract is extended. that aside, the governor can do whatever he likes in the next 3 months. And as indicated, the end of his statement today said another rise is quite likely in the months ahead. So if the next inflation figure, which is due in mid-July, the next big inflation figure, quarterly figure, isn't as the Reserve Bank expects, there will be another rise. He made that quite clear.
Mm. Yes. Is there any basis at all for the observation that the budget or indeed the minimum wage rise may have had something to do with the inflation figure?
I don't think the budget. The government claims that the budget is anti-inflationary, and who am I to say otherwise? I mean, it's certainly hard to make the case that it's inflationary. The national wage case is quite interesting. The ACTU, quite deceptively, misleadingly, claimed on its website, this is a win for the national minimum wage has gone up by 8.6%. It hasn't gone up by 8.6%. Right. If it has, it certainly hasn't been for trade unionists. The commission, the Fair Work Commission, reckons that hardly any people, 0.7% of the workforce, are on the minimum wage. Everyone else is on an award or an agreement of some kind. That's so low. They in fact said that they can't work out who these people are. They increased the minimum wage to move it sort of to a different classification, that added two or something percent. But for everyone else, they increased wages by 5.75%. Now, that everyone else is about a quarter of the workforce in total. If you were to work out what its own calculations as to what that would do to inflation, is it would add a 0.6% to whatever it was. Now, given that we were never going to give people no rises, even the employers wanted 3.5% increase, you know, half of what, or more than half of what was delivered, you can see that had the Fair Work Commission been less generous, it would have made, what's the word, bugger all? Very little difference to inflation. But of course, the Chamber of Commerce and Industry said, you know, this is the Fair Work Commission's fault. The Shadow Treasurer said it is the Treasurer's fault. I hope he remembers who was in government when the Reserve Bank started pushing up rates, which was in May, in the lead up to the election. Anyway.
Yes, all right. Peter Martin's with us for National Nightlife News Breakdown. We're talking about the role of wage rises too in the inflation picture. I mean, it is quite political, isn't it? The Australian Chamber of Commerce's Chief Executive, Andrew McKellar, taking a predictable line here.
If last week's wage increase was brought to you by the union movement, then so too this rate hike is brought to you by the ACTU. They have to accept responsibility for the fact that their policies is now adding to inflationary pressure. It's not responsible. It's leading to higher inflationary pressures and now higher interest rates.
I mean, it's just knee-jerk, isn't it, or not?
Yeah, look, the reason that interest rates have gone up, it's not because of a largely expected increase in the minimum wage, which applies to almost no one, or award wages, which even if you include all the people whose rates are set with reference to the award, it's only one in four of us. I know it's not me. I know it's not you. Most of us are on enterprise agreements, and that's worked out by the employers. Well, in a sense, though, there is perhaps a way in which this feeds into it. As I said, the governor mentioned twice expectations. It's not so much that these wage increases affect anyone deliberately, directly, but if people started to get the idea that wages are increasing quickly, look, I don't even think it's that. I think what it is that the governor has got nervous. He has predicted inflation would come down. He's seeing it's looking wobbly, and he wants to do everything he can, you know, to get it down in this last 3 months.
Mm. Mind you, I mean, a large component of the inflation basket is rents and also what's happening with real estate, isn't it, and home prices. I mean, unaccountably, home prices against, you might think, all the odds, have been climbing for three straight months in March and April and May. I think it kicked off in Sydney and New South Wales, and up they've gone. Instead of what you conventionally think, well, you crank up interest rates, you can't borrow as much, it's going to cost you more. You'd think all this would go the other way. So
this
what's
is
happening
what,
here?
That is what is making him nervous. It is unfathomable, really, that for three consecutive months, home prices nationally have increased. They've been falling ever since the Reserve Bank started lifting rates in the election campaign May last year. For the last 3 months, they've risen. Now, he tries to make sense of this by saying, and he refers to it in his statement, So it's clearly fed into the Reserve Bank's calculation. He tries to make sense of it by saying a lot of people are being harmed by high interest rates, quote, experiencing a painful squeeze. Others have substantial buffers. And here's how it works. It's roughly a third, a third, a third. 35% of households are mortgaged. Now, their mortgages, well, for those new mortgagees who are on $600,000 typically, they're paying $1,000 a month more than they were, $12,000 a year. They're in real trouble, an extra $90 a month after today. But the other third of people, the third that rent are doing badly, the other third of people, 31%, own outright. They are the people who are perhaps pushing up house prices. They can even afford to trade up. Heaven knows they're getting more interest than they've got from banks for years. Mm. And he's painting, he's only got one tool, right? Interest rates. And the problem is that you're getting people moving in two directions. He's getting nervous.
Mm. All right, we've got growth figures out tomorrow. You wouldn't expect this would be anything but negative, would you?
Oh, that won't be negative. It'll be dismal.
I should never
make a prediction. Next thing I know, it'll be negative. So the banks are predicting 0.2% growth over the quarter, which is really bad. Now, multiply that by four, you get 0.8. The population's growing at 2%. So, yes, negative economic growth, the economy going backwards per person.
Hmm.
And that's the budget forecast for the year ahead. It's the Reserve Bank's forecast for the year ahead of economic growth. That's how sort of rich we're getting, you know, taking business and consumers together, growing at less than the number of people for whom it's divided by. We saw retail spending in the last month, in April, increased by zero. And that's at a time when we've got big population growth, right, and big price growth. So people, you've got this bizarre situation where a lot of householders are tightening their belts and some of them aren't. And we are in for a weaker time. So everything that's been happening, you know, the strong employment growth, the strong profit growth, which the Fair Work Commission alluded to, is about to turn down, and the governor's still trying to meet his inflation target. It's not a very, I think his last 3 months in the governor's job are going to be interesting ones.
Mm. Yeah, grim times. All right, Peter, good to talk. Thank you.
See you next time.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.